I've got some big news, spiritual hustlers. The spiritual hustler movement just got a little bit bigger. We are now officially on YouTube. That means you can now watch full episodes, see all of the energy in real time, and connect with me and my epic guests on a whole new level. If you love listening, and I'm pretty sure you do because you're here, imagine how much more powerful it is to see the passion, the breakthroughs, the genius of my guests, the magic unfold right in front of you. So hit the link in the show notes to subscribe, turn on your notifications, and come join us for even more fun, branding, business, spirituality, and divine feminine magic over on YouTube. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, lightworker queens, my goddess sisters. I'm so happy to be here with you. You know how happy I am here to be with you each and every week on the podcast. This is the place where I get to go so, so deep, or I don't have to Instagramify in 6 seconds or less all of the things that I deeply believe in, that I know you believe in too, that we're here to talk about, we're here to unpack, we're here to awaken and remember into as lightworker, new earth leaders of this incredibly, incredibly important time in humanity. And this guest that I have today couldn't be just more perfect for this show and for this conversation that you know I love to have on really recalling the codes of not only who we're here to be as women, honestly, but who we are here to be as people, how we are to truly make this world a better place with the work that we do. You know, I coach so many women in my community and the Feminine Frequency Business School, in my mastermind, at my retreats, and my membership. I hear from so many of you on Instagram, and you know, we're all out here hustling. We're all out here doing our thing to make moves, make money, make a difference. And yet, what seems to be the most beautiful golden thread, you could call it a red thread, you could call it an iridescent thread, a galactic thread, really is what it is, that connects us all, is our deep call to service. And that we're here not just to make money, but we're really here to make a world filled with more depth, with more connection, with more meaning, with more healing for all. You know, when we operate in the old world paradigm of building businesses that are just to fill our own pockets, we are stuck in the patriarchal old paradigm that just honestly is fucking dying. It is dying in real time. And I think if you're here, you're listening to my show, you've already been initiated into that awakening and that understanding that we're here to play a much bigger game than our own selfish gain. I shouldn't say not a lot of people, but I think more and more people are waking up. It is coming online. I really believe in the next few years, we're going to have a global, massive, collective shift of consciousness. And those of us that are here now, awake, ready, this is like our Super Bowl. And this is our moment that we've all been waiting for. I really couldn't think of a more beautiful guest than my guest today, who is a visionary, who is a way shower, who is a disruptor, who is a trailblazer, who has done this work, I call it the light work, a couple times over, has built a few nine-figure businesses in her career, and she's about to go do it again. And I really want this conversation today to be the ultimate reminder for all of you that you are here to play such a big part in this moment in time. And it's so easy to get caught up in how much money we made this month, or how many people liked our last Instagram post, or how many people opened our email, or if we got invited to the thing that we felt we should have been invited to, or the amount of money that the client said they were able to afford wasn't what we were expecting. That is the micro 3D minutiae that honestly keeps us stuck in the toxic hustle, which is the whole premise of this podcast here on The Spiritual Hustler, where we talk about the blending, the cohesion, the absolute necessity of blending business, branding, leadership, revenue growth with a mission, with our spiritual cause. And when we plug in to source itself, when we really do this work of walking the spiritual path, and that looks different for all of us. For some, it is our God that we grew up with and were raised with. For some, it is relationship to nature. For others, it's, you know, Palladians, the galactic extraterrestrial star families, if you're like me. For some, it's our animals. For some, it's simply tuning into the frequency of love, which is really the whole game. It's all love. I really know that you've been called to listen to this show because you are meant to lead it differently, to do it differently, to be it differently. And Miki Agarwal is one of those women that I have honestly been celebrating and cheering for and been truly personally impacted by now for almost a decade. She is the founder of some of the most innovative companies and disruptive companies in the world. She founded Thinks, the period underwear that maybe some of you have. I certainly do. Tushy, world's first portable bidet, which she's going to talk about. She's written two best-selling books, Do Cool Shit and Disrupt Her. She was recognized by Fast Company as one of the most creative people in the world and by the World Economic Forum as a young global leader. Miki is a force. She is a presence. She is really unlike any entrepreneur I've ever met. And she's really established herself as the woman that is known to, quite frankly, and to be blunt, just fuck the status quo, but in service of the new earth. Like, the woman has a consciousness and an ability to see the future and to really create products and businesses that are here to help steward the future forward in a more harmonic and socially good capacity, not just financially good. And she got really emotional on this conversation for a lot of reasons, but she's embarking on her fourth venture called Hero Technologies. And it is really a company that is aiming to solve the global plastics crisis, because we are in a crisis. The amount of plastic that we produce as a planet is going to kill the planet if we don't do something about it. And that's not me being dramatic. That's actual data and statistics and science. And she has cracked the code on a nature-inspired plastic-eating fungi that she's going to break down today that is coming to market in its first product of baby diapers, which I know I have a lot of moms in this community. So I hope you really turn the volume up and listen to this conversation intently. Although this is a powerful, powerful conversation, even if you don't have children, trust me, you're going to want to listen to the very, very, very end. And, you know, diapers account for the biggest waste of plastic, the most long-lasting plastic in all of our landfills. It's true sabotage to our planet, among many things. But because she herself is a mom, she had a beautiful awakening with the son that she birthed, and his name is Hero, H-I-R-O. And so the company is named after him. If you're looking to be inspired today, to really know that your life, your day, your one step at a time matters, this episode is for you. And so I could not be more honored to have this total lightworker, game changer, world shifter, feminine leader of the new earth rising on The Spiritual Hustler today. And we're going to link to all of her businesses and all of her socials. And she's got a beautiful event coming up this week that you're going to not want to miss. I'll link to that in the show notes. It's a global day of prayer as she launches this. To even call it a conscious business is an understatement. It is a true world changing opportunity for all of us to get behind. And I hope that you really get involved in her mission. You buy her products, you spread the word, and that you take this conversation today and spread this podcast so that more and more people can become awake and remembered, just like you and I are, and just like Miki is, and all of the women in this community. It takes a village, as Miki says. And I'm so excited to introduce you to her and her village on this podcast today and fuck shit up for the greater good, as I like to say. We do it with love. We do it with light. We do it with feminine power. We do it with consciousness. And we do it with our soft power, as Mickey describes, as women in business. There is a different way, and she's walking it first. And I'm so excited for this conversation. So without further ado, here's my amazing, amazing interview with Mickey Agro. I'm so honored. Truly. I have a bunch of Thinx underwear in my drawers. Yes. Like, I've been following your journey forever. You're a true innovator and a world changer. And I'm so excited about this beautiful thing you're about to launch in the world. But before we get into it, Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love your energy.
Oh, I love yours.
Your self-assuredness.
I'm a Leo.
Yeah, that's great. It's
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. I want to ask you, babe, because you really, in many ways, in so many ways, in all the ways, epitomize what it means to be a spiritual hustler. So my first question for you is, what are you currently spiritually hustling for?
Well, I think since I had my son, Hero, I think so much of your purview of the world shifts. I really am considering, like, what world am I leaving behind? Like, what world do you want to introduce to the next generation? And then, like, one step further and one rung further, like, how is nature supporting that? Like, and how are we creating an ecosystem that's so sturdy and so robust and so connected that it can hold the individuals of our children, each other, ourselves,
future generations.
And I think that, you know, it's like you go from such a me world, because when we're young, we know it all, we think we're, you know, and then as we get older, there's like this shift to like an ecosystem led approach, which is like, is everyone okay? How's everyone doing in the ecosystem? You know, how is nature doing? How are the community doing? How has my company doing? And I think if the ecosystem is solid, then it does, the individual is solid too.
Yeah.
Versus like, I'm working on myself. I'm solid. But the ecosystem is falling apart. It's just going to create a crumbly ground that you're just not going to be strong for. So I think like the idea of like, what am I spiritually hustling right now is like the idea of an ecosystem led world.
Yeah.
It's like an ecosystem focused world. And so I think for me, like how that shows up in the world is creating my next, which is Hero, named after my son.
I love your son, by the way. I've seen him on Instagram. He's a full on starseed light work. He's amazing.
He is.
Well, you guys are amazing. So of course you procreated and made this beautiful human. He's not of this earth.
He is amazing. And, you know, since he was born, we just realized the insane amounts of waste that comes with creating a child or a human into the world. You know, even when you go to lunch, like the lunch trash that you, all of that, you just each person, each meal, it's just like that takes hundreds of years to break down in a landfill. And we don't even consider it like a plastic bag, like its lifespan is 15 minutes and it takes hundreds of years to break down in a landfill. It's just like when you think about it, it's insane. And when I kind of looked at, you know, the number one household plastic waste item, which is a baby diaper.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the number three waste item in a landfill. There's 6,000 per baby that the baby goes through every year. And every diaper takes 400 to 500 years to break down in a landfill. The very first disposable diaper is still in a landfill somewhere today.
That's fucked up.
You know, and like the stat that you can visualize it, it's like the number of diapers that end up in a landfill every year could circle the earth 33 times per year. And so there's such a wow to that.
Yes.
And as a new parent, you're just like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. You're like, you know, so excited for like this new world and this new baby. And then you're just entering into this world of waste. And I think like what I'm, you know, hustling for, and I think it's so funny because the word hustle is like interested in launching a company, not from the hustle.
Yes.
But from a prayer, you know?
Beautiful.
And so it's a different approach. Which is why this is an interesting conversation at all, because how do those two collide? You know, it's a very interesting thing. So anyway, so Hero is we've created the world's first diaper that is both high performing, but also breaks down with the help of our plastic eating fungi. So it's sort of like another step back is like when you think about nature for hundreds of millions of years, when trees were falling down and they would die, you know, the only being that can break them down and turn them back into nature is certain types of decomposer fungi. And it turns out the carbon backbone of these trees are very similar to the carbon backbone of plastic. So you can actually take these fungi that have been breaking down trees for hundreds of millions of years and harness them to break down plastic as well.
How did you make that connection? Like, how did you figure that out?
Yeah, my son Hero gave me the answer. I was sort of staring at my window just like this, looking at a tree, just thinking like how breast milk is liquid gold and therefore baby poop must be fertilizer gold. And while I was like, wow, what could the baby poop fertilize to potentially break down the plastic maybe of the diaper? And as I was asking myself this question, my son, when he was two, came running into my room, pointed to a book in my nightstand. And then I looked at this book. Anyways, it wasn't supposed to be there, but of course it was.
Right.
And on page 31, it says there are certain types of fungi that can break down plastic in the book. It was like a spirit-led moment.
By your oracle son, yes. Who led you there.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And so that's why the company's named after him, because it was inspired by him. And, you know, it really is a project about communing with nature. It's really being in partnership with mycelium, the oldest being in the world. And they need to feel trust.
Yes,
it actually it's true. And it's like we can be like woo, but it's true.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when we talk with the indigenous people, when we're working with, you know, we're launching on April 3rd a global prayer for our launch, and we're bringing together top indigenous leaders from around the world, from the Minari, the head of the Sapir Nation of the Amazon rainforest, to Lynn Twist, who started the Pachamama Alliance, to Laura, the head of the Sami tribe of the north, to, you know, Saviji and Pooja Swamiji from the Parmar Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India, a Mayan grandmother, like a Lakota tribe leader, like they're all coming to like bring forth this like deep prayer with Fortune 500 executives to show that there is a future where nature, humanity, and innovation can come together. Like there really is that future.
I always ask the final question. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth? And babe, you just described it. Like that's the new earth that I'm here to co-create. And I think it really does come home to our home, Gaia, and just remembering our responsibility for her highest code, which is reciprocity, and to really honor her in the work that we do, especially as business leaders. It's so profound. I'm so excited for you. I see the tears. It's amazing. I want to talk about all the things you just, like the product and your story as a business owner, but I really truly want, for the purposes of illuminating my community, to really talk about the epidemic of plastic. I think it's important for them to understand what it's really doing to our bodies, what it's doing to the planet. I see images of these landfills. I checked out, you know, your website. There's something like in the year 2050, if we don't fix this, there'll be more plastic in our oceans than fish. Can you illuminate me how we've gotten here? Because we're talking about how we fix it and what we're going to do about it. But I think it's important to look around and take some responsibility and know the part we play.
Yeah, like I feel like such a deep sense of like personal responsibility, like all of us, like we have a responsibility. And like, you know, when you think about nature, it's like, there's just the level of giving, like selfless giving that happens. Like it's just nonstop, and it's just giving, and we're just taking and just taking and taking and taking. And it's so extractive and so unfair. And it just feels like so unconscious.
Unconscious.
And it's just like, you know, and it stems so far back. It stems to the Neolithic times when, like, we were first hunter-gatherers. We were in deep community with nature. It was just what we needed. It was just, like, you know, the culture of enoughness. It's like we killed a thing. Like, we're all going to share in that meal together for the next however long it takes. It doesn't matter. Like, we're all in this together. Like, we're in full communion. But, like, the Neolithic times is, like, really when, like, sedentary life came and the patriarchy was formed during Neolithic times. And it was sort of like, you know, this is like, men are also victims of the patriarchy too. It's yes. Like we all are. And a lot, and it's a few short, you know, group of people who decided like, this is my land and I'm going to, and I need my wife and my offspring and my territory and my food. And it just became so my oriented. Versus like our, like nothing belongs to us. We're all stewards of this great place. And we're all going to become dirt anyway. So like, what are we pretending, you know? And the illusion began in like during the Neolithic times. It's just so extractive. It's so painful. And like,
it is painful.
It's like the level of greed, you know, is so insane. And it came from that feeling of like deep scarcity.
Yes.
And then in business, you're like, you want to make it scarce because then it's like good because then people want, you know, want it more. And it's like versus like there's so much abundance of everything. There's just like so many seats at the table. Like women, you don't have to fucking claw each other for the seat at the table. Like there's so much room here for everyone. Like stop.
Yeah.
You know, anticipating this launch and it's like pregame butterflies, you know, it's like. It's been 4.5 years of like just cultivating. And now it's like about to launch. I'm like sleepless, you know, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, of course.
There's, you know, a few reasons why I'm sleepless. But one of them is this like, I wake up at the middle of the night just being like, well, fucking people care. Like, will they care? Like enough.
My
like,
audience will care.
Yeah.
They're listening and they care. Yeah.
You know, it always comes before I launch anything. Cause it's like, you're like, I don't want to get ready for battle. Like, this is not this time. This is like, I'm just opening my arms and like full surrender. Like, it's a different way. And it's like, it's so vulnerable, you know, it's so different. Cause usually I'm just, you know, like, let's fucking go energy. And this one is like, just like I'm here and like what will come is going to come. And it's like,
yeah, of course,
like a
all
lot
of that.
Stuff coming
sure,
up.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you're making me think like, I really believe this is why Gaia called us here.
Yeah.
You know, humanity has been so asleep. I talk a lot about the patriarchy on the show. I'm so grateful you broke it down and expressed it the way you just did. Because I believe we've all incarnated here at this current time in humanity on purpose to find each other. Because we're playing an eternal game. Really, we are.
Yeah.
And the way that we really shift the frequency here into more harmonic 5D consciousness, as I define it, is playing the team game.
Yeah.
And it's finding each other that are here to help. We've been waiting for this moment, Mickey.
Yeah.
Your business is right on time. These last 4 years that you were marinating and germinating and seeding this vision that is now ready for the world to receive, because people are waking up and it's people like you and me who've been on this train for a while, who've been like saying, look, it's here. It's about to come. It's already coming. We all have to link arms and play this game together. And I just really hold so much trust that the world is really, really like desperate actually for the medicine that you're about to bring with this business.
Thanks for saying
I truly know that to be true. Yeah. I was just having this conversation with another podcast guest last week that there's going to be this massive awakening in like 2026.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very disruptive and jarring for people who have not yet necessarily been initiated into this understanding of like what's really happening here. And for those of us that have sort of been waiting like front row, that this is our moment to really help humanity remember.
Yeah.
Because it's a slumber. It's not that people aren't innately
just forgetting.
Forgetting, you know? And so this business feels just like a true representation and manifestation of this remembrance.
I think a lot of times, like also like, you know, I've been like proverbially burned for witchcraft too, you know? Like we've been there, like the gentle giants have been there, you know, I've been through like the dark night of the soul from like stuff that's just said that you're just like, whoa, like this is like the old way that's just wanting to like suppress the gentle next way. And and gentle, I mean, I don't mean gentle, the soft power way. And soft power isn't just gentle, it's fierce too when it needs to be. And
yes,
you know, it's disruptive, it shakes things up. And also there's this like deep tenderness on the inside. I think it's so important to have
those.
Yeah. You know, I think that's what's interesting. Like spiritual hustler, it has both. It's got like the gentle and it's got
exactly.
the soft, but it's got the power and it's got the go. It's the feminine, masculine. And it's really, it's beautiful to like own both and like really proudly own both. It's not like, I'm not masculine. It's like, no, there is strong masculine inside of me and there's strong feminine inside of me. There's both, and the masculine allows us to move forward and take steps and take action. The feminine allows us to receive, to commune, to like soften, to take a breath, you know? And so I think like for me, you know, in this sort of pregame moment before launch, it's like there's the anticipation of like all of the things. It's like so much is coming up of just like beyond just will people care? But it's also like my own, like it's another coming out party for my people. You know, there's just a lot that's coming up around like stuff that's been said that has been so untrue and so painful and so hard. And you don't know if like cult, like I don't, you know, it's just like there's just a lot there that it's just coming up.
I've watched your journey. It's so vulnerable to launch a dream. I fully relate. There's nothing quite like it. It's important to have your people. And it's important to have your guides. And you've built really exciting, totally disruptive businesses. It's like the thing you do. And I mean, I'm a consumer of your products. And they've changed the conversation. They've changed the culture. And, you know, I want to talk about, I'm curious to know, were you always like this mission, spirit-led, visionary? Like, what were you? Were you always, like, who were you before this Mickey Agarwal that we all know? Were you always like, I know you have a twin sister and both of you have like these codes, but what was that about?
I think like, you know, it's like we've been brought up, you know, half Indian, half Japanese, growing up in French Montreal, to like question everything, and that it was, we had the permission to question everything, that there was no like one perspective. There was always like many perspectives around answering a problem or solving a thing. You know, I went to India when I was 11 years old. My parents like literally saved up and they took out a loan to take my family to India when we were 11. And it took them 10 years to pay off the loan.
Wow.
But it was like a really, really game changing moment in my life when I went to India and like saw kids with like elephantitis on their feet, and they were dragging their these huge feet along the in like the train stations, and with just themselves begging for food. And I was just like, where are their parents? I kept asking my parents, like, mom and daddy, like, where are their mom and daddy? Like, where are their mom and daddy? And they're like, they're abandoned. Like, they don't have one. And so like I brought out my twin sister and I, we would like make bread and butter, like, and we pile up bread like this much, and we would just go and give it to these kids for like days and days. We would just be like, we just got to feed these kids. And so it was sort of like, I think it was like the moment where we were just like, wow, like we won the lottery of life.
Yes.
You know, like we really, we could have picked any like ticket and we could have been there or here or no food and no family and no love and whatever.
I still feel that.
Yeah. And I think like it was like, if I really tune into like a transformational moment, was when our parents like made that decision to take us to India. And like I said, you know, it took them 10 years to pay off that loan. It was a big deal for them to think about doing that. Yeah. And they took us to India for 2.5 months, and then took us to Japan to visit my mom's side. And we got to see the world.
Got to see the perspective.
For the first time, and just be like, wow, like, gosh, like we're so lucky. When I became an entrepreneur, I was like, give back needs to be woven into the business. It's not like a marketing afterthought. It's like I couldn't create anything if it wasn't like truly like had some social impact element to it. It just wouldn't, I would have been bored within 5 seconds. Like, and so it was sort of like, you know, with my restaurants, it was like serving local farms and creating local jobs for like local farmers. We created New York City's first gluten-free local farm table pizza restaurant in New York City, which this year will be my 20-year anniversary. Which
Congrats. Is like, it's huge.
Dates me. I started when I was 5. and thinks, you know, we've helped millions of girls go back to school, you know, by providing for every pair of underwear that we sold, thinks underwear we funded. So basically we really were inspired by the Tom's Shoes model, you know, the buy one, give one. And like what was, you know, what, you know, Blake's intention was really beautiful. He was just like, these kids, they can't go to school if without shoes on. I'm going to like make shoes, and every pair of shoes, I'm going to give a pair of shoes somebody in need. And what they didn't realize is by giving shoes away to local communities, it creates a welfare model. So those who are like sitting, working so hard to like sell shoes, now all of a sudden a bunch of free shoes are coming. What happens to that person's business?
Yeah.
It goes away.
Yeah.
And so they were actually like hurting local people who are like in earnest trying to make a living, and they're just doing these free shoe drops, and it wasn't serving local. So it created a welfare model that didn't serve necessarily the local. So it was beautiful in thought, and it was the foundation that gave us so much inspiration to work off of.
Yeah.
But then we looked at the model and we were like, huh, this model could be you know, improved.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we looked for a local Ugandan company in Uganda that made washable cloth pads at an affordable price. And we said, for every pair of underwear sold, we will fund the company, the AfriPads in Uganda, that makes washable cloth pads. And then they would then create more local jobs, hire more local women to create the pads. And then it would subsidize the cost of the pads so local women could buy them at a cheaper price. And we also found that if people got free stuff, they would care for it less. But if they paid $2 a year for a bunch of pads, they would care for it more.
Yes.
You know? And so it actually empowered every person at every level. And so it was like a deep empowerment model and not a welfare model that we created after that.
Incredible.
Yeah. And so then we built from there with Tushy as well.
I want to talk about Tushy, but before we move on to Tushy, I do want to double click into Thinx for whatever it's worth, because as a consumer, on a micro level, like what you just expressed is so profound and so clearly the ripple effect that, you know, you've, I think, been put on this planet to create. But those underwear changed my life. I hated my cycle. I felt like grossed out by it. I was like an inconvenience. It felt like cheap and commercial to use pads. And your underwear was like a total permission slip for me to embrace that part of my body. Like the free bleed. Like I fucking live for my Thinx underwear.
Yes.
It's my favorite days of the month, to be honest. Like truly, I feel
it's a
never
cleansing.
Right. I've never felt more connected to my feminine than when I'm on my cycle. I'm bleeding on my moon. And that really didn't come online until I bought your product. And I treasure them.
Thank you for saying that, because it's like I never take that for granted. It's like it's always such a like I receive that.
Good.
Because like the intention of it was really not only to create a product that supported women, but that actually liberated women from the stigma and the taboo of a period which creates human life for all. And we're here like putting our tampons in our sleeve and slinking away pretending. And I'm like, are you no. I have my period, everyone. Go get me something for my water, for warm water for my belly.
100%.
You massage my feet.
Mm-hmm. You get cancel me chocolate, my meetings and to,
you
right.
Handle, you know, it's like who everyone needs to take care of me right now, because
correct.
I'm the queen of my period.
Correct.
And so you should say thank you.
100%.
You know? And so right?
And it was executed so beautifully. Like when you launched it, I remember your website and your branding and your social and just how you were so representative of the female body.
Yeah.
It, and like just our womanness. It was so alluring. I mean, I was, before I knew you, I was a consumer. And then I followed your story as an entrepreneur because, you know, I'm one too. And I was like, this is a badass. And it did disrupt, change that conversation and allowed this taboo stigma to be so embraced and celebrated. And so that leads me to Tushy, because talk about stigma.
Well, just really quickly,
go ahead.
Fun fact, the word taboo
stems
from the Polynesian root word tapwa, which means period.
Stop.
So the word, taboo means period. Like the most uncomfortable thing that you can possibly talk about is the thing that creates human life. It's like the cosmic joke of that, you
That's
know?
Wild.
It's just,
I did not
it just
know
deserved
that.
To be broken, that that. You know,
and liberated.
Yeah, liberated. Yeah.
So I saw you come out with Tushy.
Yeah.
Whenever that was, I think you were Burning Man. And where was that born from?
Yeah. Well, so I'm half Japanese, half Indian. So both cultures are deep in bidet culture.
Yep.
Japan has like, you walk by it, it like says hi to you, you know, in addition to like doing all the things.
I'm putting Japanese toilets in my new house.
Well, you have to put a Tushy aura. Excuse me.
Let's talk about it. Fine. Sorry. I'll
we
take it back.
We have the nicer, no, we have the competing.
You do?
Yes. It opens, it basically, it like when you walk by, it opens, it's warm seat, warm water, blow dries your butt. It's nicer, like a much nicer remote than Toto. Like,
we haven't ordered them yet, so we're going to talk.
Get Aura by Tushy. It's
got
the
you.
Nicest one. You have to.
Got it. Done.
Yes.
Done.
Great.
Amazing. It's consider it done.
Great. It's our. We just launched our bidet seats.
Amazing.
For the first time.
Okay, there you go.
And we've already 6x'd our projections. Like people are obsessed with our seats. Yeah. And so we're competing. We're going head to head against my people in Japan, but like we're American made. Like, come on.
Yeah, there we go.
You know? So yeah, we are, it's super exciting moment. But the inception story was when I was building Thinx, it was like 100-hour weeks. It was so intense. Like we were on a real rocket ship. It was such a crazy moment. And I had developed an intense hyperthyroid condition because I was just pushing my body past its limits every single day. Like, it was intense. Like, I was pooping. Like, a side effect of hyperthyroidism is pooping. Like, I was pooping up to 8 times per day.
Wow.
I got down to 90 pounds. It was, like, really scary. And it was just, my body was just in overdrive. And the doctor was like, you have to take your thyroid out, do radioactive iodine therapy, and take 4 pills a day for the rest of your life. And I was like, no, not going to do that. I'm going to go the functional medicine route. Dr. Mark Hyman, my doctor, my one of my best friends. And so he really helped me get on a vitamin protocol. I did a detox. I did a full detox, you know, protocol. I started seeing a coach to purge all my internal emotions. I started doing body work. I do still today 3 to 5 hours every week of body work.
Good.
And I started that practice like back in 2013 when all this went down. 2014. And it was like I had to really relearn how to like serve my nervous system as a primary, you know, thing. And that led me on such a journey of like self-discovery and so much of that, because it was so scary. Like my heart palpitations was also one of the side effects. And it was like every night my twin sister would be sobbing. She's like, I hope you wake up tomorrow. Like it was like that scary. It was like boom, boom. It was so terrifying. Like it was for 2 years. I've completely healed myself.
For 2 years you experienced this?
For 2 years. It was so scary. And then, I mean, I've been since 2016, it's been totally, it's gone out of my, I mean, I've healed myself 100%. I got pregnant as soon as I decided, like second month trying, like it was just when I was healed, Mark was like, you're done. You're totally like, it's gone out of your system. And we started trying in the second month, got pregnant. It was amazing. So part of the thing that happened was my husband, he got me a bidet for Valentine's Day.
Because you were pooping,
so much. Yeah. And I had to jump in the shower because I was so like raw. It was so horrible. It was so hard. And then the bidet changed my life. It like completely restored my dignity in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is crazy that every household in America does not have one of these. Like, I can't even believe it, how truly game changing it is. Not even just having an ailment, just for cleanliness.
Yes.
Like it's like you clean everything in your life with water, but the only part of your body, the dirtiest part of your body, you're smearing dry paper.
I think you said that in some public like platform or interview or something else. I was like, she's so fucking right. We wipe our asses with dry paper every day.
And you sit on that and you're just smearing shit. It's just like,
it's really crazy.
It's crazy. It's actually like clinical.
Yeah.
You know, like it's when you really think about it, it's like, wait, how have we been so deeply indoctrinated? Which is one of the reasons why I wrote my book Disruptor, is because of the fact that we are so deeply indoctrinated by so many things, including wiping our butts with trees, the thing that creates human life, like beyond our periods, trees, literally this multi, like hundreds of millions of year technology that's like takes in carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, all these toxins in the air, converts it to oxygen as a technology for us, for our breath.
Yes.
And then we chop them down and wipe our butts with them. When you really think about it,
when you say it like that,
it's just like the level of disrespect. Wow. Like nature's like, still giving you, I'm still serving. One day I'm gonna fucking eat all of you alive.
Yeah.
And you're gonna all be dead, because that's what's happening. It's not gonna be nature like going away. We're gonna be dead. We're going extinct. You know, unless we solve something together in community, in symbiosis, holding hands and like in full harmony. We're so short-sighted, you know, and it's not us. It's the conditioning. Belief. It's the system. It's the cloak. It's, again, it's why we wipe our butts. It's the same, just the veil that we just need to lift. But anyways, and so from that, you know, Tushy was born, because I just was like, I need to bring the best in class, most beautiful, most game-changing bidet that's easily attachable to your toilet, that turns any toilet into a bidet in less than 10 minutes, that takes no plumbing or electrical required, can turn a rental into a bidet, like all the differences. And then I thought about like all the types of people. It's like those who obviously have GI issues, people have chronic UTIs, hemorrhoids, fissures, itching, bacterial vaginosis. That's millions and millions and millions and millions of people in America alone, you know, not to mention those who have disabilities, those who are elderly, like the young kids, like my son. He's like, tushy time. And he's like, butt's clean. I don't have to wipe his butt. And it's pristine. It's like game changing, you know? And so like the moms, you're pre-pregnant, post-pregnant, you have hemorrhoid, you're like so trapped down there. The number of like pregnant moms who are like, you have changed my life.
Sure.
It, you know, is like the use cases. It's just, and then just anyone who is going on a date, you're welcome. You know what I mean?
Like, that's right.
Like, you're disgusting.
That's
like,
so true.
I keep telling my friend who owns Hinge, I'm like, you should put in your dating profile, bidet user or not bidet user. And I will filter.
Tushy user or not tushy user.
Yeah, tushy user. Like, I will filter you out if you do not
so good.
Use tushy. So that was the inception story for Tushy. And to date, we have helped save millions of trees, like over 10 million trees being flushed down the toilet. We have funded resoiling and reforestry projects all over South America. We've built out toilets for over 60,000 families in India. Like we've really like, there is like such a deep interweaving. And what was so unreal about Tushy is that my father in India for a couple of years didn't have access to a clean toilet. And he, as a 75-year-old man, still sometimes has nightmares, like looking for a toilet, clean toilet in India, like running, looking for a toilet to go to. And I didn't know that. And we have already helped 60,000 families in India gain access to clean toilets. And I found out that after we partnered and did the project, it was like this ancestral healing without even knowing it.
Unreal.
Like, I mean, like you can't make that up.
So can I ask you, Mickey, your work is just at another level. And I know that my listeners are hearing this and they're being called, I believe, to a higher order to do something. And not everybody can start the companies that you've started. And we obviously want all the moms to go buy Hero and get them in their homes. But if you were to give the girl listening who's feeling the pain in her heart, like, wow, this world, we take so much. How can I contribute, give back? How can I make an impact? What would you say to her?
Yeah, I mean, it comes with just like becoming aware of your everyday choices. Just awareness of like, what am I ingesting? What type of content am I taking on? Am I listening to the news? And it's just full of just, I haven't listened to the news in, I'm not kidding, 8 years. I haven't. I get my information from trusted sources. And when something needs to get to me, it'll get to me. Otherwise, I've never read the news. I have zero interest in like the clickbait negative dopamine hits
totally.
That are
same.
So toxic. And I just don't. I don't watch any TV. I don't watch Netflix, you know? And it's like, I would say to the girl is to like really say like, I'm as much as anyone that can really, really drive impact and drive change. Like I don't have to witness another. I can. It's beautiful. I can support, collaborate with another, but I can also go and pack lunches and give them out to the homeless. Like I, you know, with Hero, my son, we got a few friends together and their kids, and we made sandwiches and made little lunch bags, and we went all over Austin and handed out little lunch bags to like the homeless people in Austin, so we can learn about just giving. And like, what does it look like to just be in service and just be like, these people live outside and like, you know, and he was like, they do. And it's just like, they're still learning. Like, it's like, you know, when I asked my son, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? He goes, a influencer. And I was like,
oh no,
use your tools. No, you don't, you know? And I'm just like, and, cause that's what they're exposed to.
Yes.
It's like YouTuber, like I want to be a this or a that. And like, only because, you know, for me, like he's made over 300 inventions for me or since he's three, he's seven. He delivers inventions to me every time before he gets to watch like a little thing or, you know, before he gets a treat or something, he has to make me an invention. And now it's three parts. It's an invention, a haiku, and a freestyle song that he has to just make up in real time in the moment. And then he gets a treat. And he's amazing. Yeah, I think it's just really taking action. It's easy to be like, I want to. I have all these ideas. Like I've written down all these things I want to do, but then they don't do it.
Yeah.
There's just so much talking and not doing. There's so much like, well, I got really busy with, well, this happened and I couldn't and this and then that. And it's like, just put your shoes on and walk out the door. That is 80% of it. Once you do that, you're going to get to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work out. Put your running shoes on and walk out that door. Just make that happen. And it's like getting out of the talking and into the putting your running shoes on and walking out the door. And I think, you know, the sedentary world that we live in, this me generation selfie, this I, me world.
Yes.
Is going to just become so empty.
Yes.
That and we're seeing it, the loneliness epidemic. 40% of Americans can't name one person to confide in America.
It's wild.
You know, my twin sister started the Belong Center, which is so amazing. And it's like really bringing Belong. I sit on the board of the Belong Center. I'm so proud to really create. There's over 20 Belong Centers around the country.
Wow.
And, you know, and she started Daybreaker, the early morning dance movement.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm a big advocate of the Daybreaker.
It's like the best party in the whole wide world.
Changed my life when I went for the first time. Like, it was like, what is this? It was so beautiful.
Yeah. And so, you know, really just it's effect like this me thing. And it's like, I can't do anything for the world. Like, it's too much.
Mm.
I'm too overwhelmed. It's just a sign of like, you don't want to take action. Or maybe they are overwhelmed. And maybe they just need someone to be like, it's not overwhelming if you just put your running shoes on and take one inspired action today. Just take one inspired action a day. One. By the end of a year, that's 365 inspired actions, even if they're small. Like, it's a big deal. It can make a big difference. And I think there is this, like, this is too big. And that's why, like, when I think about storytelling, I think about the empathy telescope, which is the idea that you can tell the story of one, but you can't tell the story of many.
Mm.
Like, you can be like, Joey, you know, from Zimbabwe. There's no Joey name. This is Zimbabwe. You know, like, whatever. Joey from this place, you know, is going through this experience versus, like, millions of children are starving. And right. You're like, I can't.
Yep.
Too much.
Yep.
You know, but you're like, but you can help Joey. You can help Joey. Like, you know? And
so good.
And I think that there's, like, you know, we're learning, like, how to tell individual stories, you know? Like, really, really powerfully.
So exciting.
Yeah. So many cool organizations that are coming online now that are really here to like serve the collective consciousness.
Yep.
You know, my favorite from South by Southwest is this organization called Dollar Donation Club, started by my friend Seth. And it's basically this concept of if you can create a collective super billionaire philanthropist where everyone just gives $1 a month. Imagine if you gave $1 a month and you gave $1 a month and you gave $1 a month and I gave $1 a month and everyone in the world gave just $1 a month. Everyone can do that. Together, you don't have to wait for Bill Gates. You don't have to wait for someone to like Jeff Bezos to hand out. We are bigger than like a whale, like a school of fish, you know? And so there's this like beautiful types of companies like that, that you're like, I can give $1 a month. Like that is something that I can do. And it's the same thing where it's like, I can make a change. Like I can put my baby in this diaper that's going to turn back into dirt. You know, like I know that when, you know, Hero Diapers is simple. You drop a Hero pouch in there, a pouch of mushroom. It's a little pouch that you drop into as you're changing the baby, a little pouch into the diaper. You close the diaper, you throw it in the trash, and that's it. It's one extra inspired action. It's a little pouch you put in the diaper, you close it, you throw it in the trash. And that your baby poop is going to fertilize that little pouch to grow and eat the diaper.
Wow.
And turn it into nature. Like that's what we're creating.
You throw it in the trash. Like the dumpster picks it up.
Yes.
Puts it into the landfill.
When it goes to a landfill, it'll eat the diaper first. And the big vision is going to start eating all the plastics in landfills too after that. So it's like a generative innovation too. And so that's what we're creating at here. We spent 4.5 years working with the top mycologists, micro-remediation experts, the biodegradation people, like PhDs, to really figure out. We looked at 1,000 strains of fungi, and we boiled it down to the top several strains of fungi blend that can then work together to break down the plastic of the diaper. And so that's really what makes this diaper so special. The diaper itself is like unbleached cotton, unbleached wood pulp, amazing, but it also comes with these pouches that you just, with our little fungi, sleeping fungi in them that you just drop in when you're changing the baby. It's just one inspired action. So it's kind of like all these things where it's like, I can make this one inspired action. I can make this one inspired action. I can give a dollar. I can put this pouch in the diaper. Like, I could do, like, these are like inspired actions that you can take that then make you, all of a sudden, you are a steward of change. Like,
yes, babe.
You know?
Wow. You are the inspired action. This conversation was everything and more. You have your big event coming up.
Yes.
Share that. And then where can people go learn all about Hero?
For sure. We are officially launching Hero on April 2nd. So Hero Diapers, H-I-R-O, and it's pronounced Hero, like Hero, but it's H-I-R-O-Diapers.com, launches on April 2nd. And on April 3rd, we're doing this global prayer to bring together all the Indigenous leaders and Fortune 500 CEOs to come together with people, with anyone listening, anyone who wants to join, to witness what it could look like when nature, humanity, and innovation can come together in a deep collective prayer. And that is the inception point of a business.
We'll link it. Can we link it in the show notes for everyone to go register and join?
That would be amazing. And then we'll, if you go to Hero Technologies, but it will be at Hero Diapers on Instagram very soon as well.
All right, sister. I have just a few final quick fire questions for you that I ask every guest. Okay, out of my own curiosity, but also they're wanting to know too. So do you have a favorite spiritual book?
I'm reading a book right now called Courting the Wild Twin by Martin Shaw.
Okay.
It needs to be read by everyone.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll make a note. Link that as well.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite spiritual teacher?
I am working with a couple of spiritual teachers right now, but my favorite spiritual teacher is Sadhvi Ji from the Parmarniketan Ashram in India. She is this badass woman who has given her entire life to serving the world and, you know, has been living in India, the banks of the Ganges River, since the age 25. And she just had a calling to go there. She dropped, she like, you know, was at Stanford, and she's this Jewish woman, but she literally is like the most high in command spiritual teacher, working with Pooja Swamiji, who's like the spiritual teacher of one of the biggest, most prominent ashrams in India. And she's like the one giving, she's like the feminine voice that's giving the sermons. And it's so amazing for Indians to see that too, a woman empowered. And she's incredible.
Of course, she's your favorite. Yeah. So reflective of you. Do you work with like an angel or a goddess or a favorite deity or archetype of any kind?
Yes, Kuan Yin, goddess Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin. She's on my altar and I pray to her and, you know, it's almost every day, and I'm just sitting on the altar and just the goddess of creation and fertility and just impregnating the world with ideas and love and life and the feminine essence. And so she is my goddess.
Attracts. Yeah. Attracts too.
And trees.
Yes. Yeah. I would tell you my tree story when we're done.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens? Yes or no? I think I know the answer. Is it right? Everybody. I write about Palladians in my new book. And I walk through the world as a Palladian. So my audience knows that.
Okay.
So
what's a Palladian?
Palladian is an extraterrestrial star family from the Milky Way galaxy. Oh. Pleiades is a constellation 444 light years away. They were the original bringers of light on this planet. They're world creators.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful. Here to really help humanity remember their sovereignty and their limitless potential.
Beautiful.
And that it's supposed to be fun, the human experience.
Amazing.
Yeah. So full stop, Palladian. But great to know that you believe in us, to believe in them.
Yes.
Final question for you. And I asked it before, but I reflected it before, but I want to ask it one last time. What does it mean to you, Mickey, to be a co-creator of the new Earth rising?
I mean, we're just stewards. We're just a steward for, and just kind of playing the apprentice role to the universe, the, you know, God consciousness. You know, I think it's really like, as soon as we take the reins and try to muscle our way into control, it just creates the most amount of suffering. And so when we realize that, like, let life lead and let the universe lead, let the God consciousness, nature consciousness lead, and we're just here to apprentice, to steward, to sous chef, that it actually creates so much joy and so much pleasure and so much abundant pool of energy. And I'm really like really apprenticing myself to like tapping into that kind of unlimited source of energy just from sitting in nature, just sitting really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And communing and just being in like this receiving mode. And it's a very difficult and different thing when you're used to doing it one way, you know, and just like I've had success, you know, built 2 9-figure businesses in this on the horse, sword in hand. And this is a, you know, it's a different way.
Yeah.
You know? And
different time.
Yeah, it's a different time. And yeah, exactly. I think the time, it's like the right way for the right time.
Yeah, so let's go. You're always here. So excited for you. So proud of you. So in awe of you. And I'm honored to help this mission. Where can people find you, Mickey, on social? And how can people... We're going to leave the link to Hero Technologies.
Yeah, Hero
Diapers.
Leave,
yeah. Yep. And we're going to leave a link to the event.
Yes.
Anywhere
Global
else?
Prayer, April 3rd, 2 p.m. Central. Mark your calendars.
Done and done.
Yeah. And my personal, just Instagram, at Mickey Agrawal. Just first name, last name.
Wonderful to finally put a real face.
Yeah.
To a really
same.
Beautiful
Let's
name.
Let's be friends.
Love where we are friends.
Okay.
It's amazing.